Radio Prague News.
The Constitutional Court has rejected a complaint put forward by smaller parties and upheld last year's municipal election in Prague. The country's largest betting and lottery company, Sazka, has been declared bankrupt. And hockey's Chinets staved off elimination in their semifinal series against Slavia on Monday, winning a score of 6-1. The Constitutional Court has rejected a complaint put forward by smaller parties contesting last year's municipal election in Prague. The European Democrats, Green Party and Public Affairs, along with 8 individuals, had argued that changes made by the prior Civic Democrat-dominated assembly, dividing Prague into 7 election districts, had hurt their election chances. Constitutional Court Judge Jiří Nikodým, reading the court's ruling on Tuesday, said the change to the election system had had an impact on the results, but said that the plaintiffs had not been able to prove intent. Last year's municipal election was won by Topo 9, but the party was left out in the cold after failing to reach a deal with either the Civic or Social Democrats, who eventually agreed to a power-sharing agreement of their own. The Municipal Court of Prague has declared lottery and betting giant Sazka bankrupt. A meeting of creditors is to be held on May 26th, after which time the court will rule on a form of bankruptcy administration. Creditors who have not yet reported outstanding debts are to do so within 30 days. According to the Insolvency Register, Sazka has roughly 1.4 billion crowns in overdue debts owed to 26 companies. The company is primarily overburdened by repayments for the giant sports hall built in Prague for the 2004 World Ice Hockey Championships and has recently had trouble paying its lottery jackpot winners. Sazka itself had also applied to declare bankruptcy. A fiscal inspection of the Defense Ministry has shown that purchases via intermediaries over the last 6 years have cost the army roughly 1.5 billion crowns. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra told reporters on Tuesday that the waste had been the result of a preference for exploiting available funds rather than fulfilling real needs, and presented an amendment allowing the direct purchase of military technology from abroad. That amendment is one of the key points of the government's policy statement and the coalition agreement. Military commerce with foreign countries must currently be handled by third-party intermediaries. In sports news and in hockey, regular season winners Chinets staved off the elimination in their best-of-7 semifinal series against Slavia on Monday, winning convincingly by a score of 6-1. Forward Martin Ružička proved to be a key player in the match, scoring 4 goals in the game. The win cuts Slavia's lead in the series to 3-2. The Prague team will have a second chance to close the door on Chinets on Wednesday evening or face a game 7. The winner of the series will meet Vítkovice in the final. And now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be warm and sunny, with daytime temperatures reaching 15 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, the embattled defense minister has survived in his post, but at what cost to the Berlin coalition? And one of the co-founders of Public Affairs, the smallest party in government, has said he will run for the post of party chairman. Then be sure to stay tuned for the fascinating history of the Khods, frontiersmen who were at their zenith between the 13th and 16th centuries. That's all ahead. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra has survived in his post after he was backed on Monday by the leadership of his party, the Civic Democrats. Mr. Vondra was under mounting pressure by the other coalition parties to step down over his role in a questionable 2009 government deal during the country's EU presidency. The Civic Democrats also came out strongly against what they said was interference by other parties in their internal affairs. Jan Richter has the details.
In the biggest coalition clash since the government took office last July, the senior ruling party, the Civic Democrats, united on Monday behind Defense Minister Alexander Vondra. Pressure on him to quit mounted earlier this week in connection with his role as the Minister for EU Affairs in 2009, when the country held the rotating presidency of the bloc. Mr. Vondra had allegedly been aware of a dubious contract with the Promopro firm that supplied audiovisual services for the presidency, in which millions of crowns were wasted. Several high-ranking members of the other coalition parties, Topo 9 and Public Affairs, called publicly on Mr. Vondra to step down after he failed to satisfy their demands for an apology. Finance Minister and Deputy Topo 9 head Miroslav Kalousek even suggested Mr. Vondra should no longer participate in any future coalition negotiations. In response, however, the Civic Democrats Party leadership came out strongly in Mr. Vondra's support. Prime Minister and Civic Democrat leader Petr Nečas had this to say.
S prací Alexandra Vondry. Jako ministra obrany jsme spokojeni.
We are satisfied with Mr. Vondra as the defense minister. He's doing a good job. The Promopro affair is a thing of the past that has caught up with him. On the other hand, Mr. Vondra assumed political responsibility for the issue, and I believe he had not breached the law. As far as who should take part in coalition meetings, let me stress again that the Civic Democrats Executive Council refuses any attempts by other political parties to interfere with our party's internal affairs.
Some commentators said the strong response was motivated by the equally powerful push by the Topo 9 officials, particularly by Finance Minister Kalousek himself. Mr. Kalousek has close ties to some of the arms dealers that have supplied weapons and equipment worth of billions of crowns to the Czech army over the years. These links are now threatened by Mr. Vondra, who is working to remove arms contractors from the supply chain altogether. Alexandra Vondra told Czech TV on Monday that this was the real reason why he found himself under fire from coalition partners.
It's no coincidence that the pressure has mounted in recent days, because I'm going to put forward to the government new legislation that will substantially curb the role of middlemen in future purchases of arms for the Czech army. Our analyses have shown that purchases were much more expensive because of these contractors, and the losses were much higher than the amounts that are mentioned in connection with Promopro.
Both Topo 9 and Public Affairs leaders backed off after the Civic Democrats voiced unanimous support for Alexandra Vondra. But the conflict within the coalition is far from over. Mr. Kalousek repeated once again his party no longer trusted the defense minister, a view shared by leaders of Public Affairs. They said they might even side with the opposition to summon an extraordinary session of the lower house, adding more strain on the already shaken coalition.
Thanks there to my colleague Jan Richter. Now, until recently, the country's transport minister, Vít Bárta, delayed whether or not to run for leader of Public Affairs, the party he helped found, which won surprising success in the last election. After a final consideration of options over the weekend, Mr. Bárta confirmed his candidacy, meaning party members will choose between him and current leader Radek Jón, and possibly others. In the end, Mr. Bárta's decision is not that great a surprise, as in recent months the successful former businessman has been seen more and more as the real mover behind Public Affairs, even as Radek Jón as Interior Minister has suffered a marked drop in public popularity. What direction would Mr. Bárta lead the party if he is named chairman? Well, for one, the leader has made clear he wants Public Affairs, who benefited in the last election largely from the protest vote, to be a more liberal centrist party, and he indicated as chairman he would put greater emphasis on regional politics, regional policies, and regional organizational restructuring. There are other differences in leadership as well between Messrs. Bárta and Jón, says political analyst Jan Bureš.
I think in comparison to Radek Jón, Vít Bárta wants the party to be seen more as a co-creator of reforms, and he generally sees the party's proper place as within the centre-right government, even if on the surface the party is supposed to be more centrist. By contrast, Radek Jón is more abrasive towards coalition partners, and I think if he loses his race for chairman it will be because he causes more conflict within the coalition. Vít Bárta generally wants Public Affairs to be able to push through essential changes and reforms, and once in a while to accent social policies which brought them popularity in the last election and eventually brought them to power.
Takové to poměrně radikální voličstvo, které je do té sněmovny asi i vyneslo.
Interestingly, while supported by his wife and fellow public affairs deputy leader Katarzyna Klasnova in his bid, Vid Bartha will not be able to rely on her vote. She has indicated she will continue to support Mr. Yon, given how he, as a former TV personality, helped bring the party out of obscurity. For his part, Mr. Bartha said he envisioned Mr. Yon being named the party's honorary chairman, complete with the power of veto in the top party leadership. But Mr. Yon, having announced his own candidacy for re-election weeks ago, is unlikely to be giving such a scenario much thought now. In the end, the two current candidates may also not be the only ones vying for top spot. Another high-standing member, Karolina Peek, is reportedly also weighing whether or not to put her name forward. Nominations will close at the end of the month, while public affairs members, based on the party's policy, will elect the next chairperson via the internet between May 8th and 22nd. Some, though, have criticized the method of voting, asking whether it is the best for any serious political party. Political analyst Jan Bureš again.
You have to have well-defined competencies and accountability on the part of elected functionaries, and these members also need to have space to make independent decisions. That's why I see building up regional organizations and connections as a step forward for public affairs. In the long term, a party relying on some kind of internet voting can't really survive.
And political analyst Jan Bureš on the situation surrounding the party public affairs, who are ahead of electing a new chairperson. We now turn to our main feature for this day, which is Czech history with Christian Falvey, in which he follows in the footsteps of the Chods.
In the olden days, our kingdom of Bohemia had a natural and mighty wall of deep forest that stretched out for many miles from the mountain ranges of the borders into the country's interior. The crossings that ran through the thick wood of the frontier, like gateways into the country, were guarded by designated sentries, and the most important of them had always been defended by the Chods, a hearty, tough people, stout in build and gallant in spirit.
Thus begins the epic romance Psuhlavci, the Dogheads, by Alois Jirásek, which during the 19th century national revival reawoke pride in a forgotten group of Bohemian frontiersmen who had once held a special place in Czech society. Every Czech child today learns about the Chods in Jirásek's work of early historical fiction, but they are not just specters of Czech history, as you find when you visit the western Bohemian town of Domažlice. Ethnologist and Chod Josef Nadel is the director of the Museum of Chodsko, located in Domažlice's 13th century Chod castle.
Chodové jsou obyvatelé česko-německého pohraničí.
Chods are inhabitants of the Czech-Bavarian frontier who were charged in the past with guarding and securing the trade routes and signaling any encroaching dangers into the interior. There were many Chodish clans, but they were all German. Only the Domažlice Chods were Czechs, and they were all loyal to their Czech sovereign, that is, the Czech king.
Interestingly, it was of no significance to the king what language his sentries spoke or what culture they observed. Their loyalty was ensured with unheard-of privileges, and while they were no doubt chosen for the job because they were rough-and-tumble Highlanders, the function and image they were allotted by the 19th century romantics was somewhat mystified.
Práce, kterou vykonávali, byla něco jako práce finanční policie.
The work they did was something like that of finance officers. They supervised the collection of tolls and customs taxes, and insofar as they could, they kept the trade roads clear of highwaymen, bandits, and thieves. And for that service, they received a long list of benefits from the Czech king. They never had to serve the aristocracy. They answered directly to the king. They could wear a weapon, hunt in the king's forests. They had their own seal and their own ensign, and they had their own court, which was in this building.
Prapor a měli vlastní soud, který sídlil v této budově.
A total of 24 privileges bestowed upon 11 villages selected by the king, and superior even to those enjoyed by townsmen in the larger settlement of Domažlice. Among other things, they were allowed to breed dogs, Bohemian shepherds to be precise, which legend says accompanied them on their duties and lent their image to their shields, from which the name Dogheads comes. What is certain is that some 700 years later, the communist border guards would use the same image as their emblem. Another deceiving perception imparted by Jirásek is that the Khods were a large fighting force. In fact, there was nothing like an army that could deter an invasion, but only about 320 so-called sentries, selected according to conditions set by King John of Bohemia in 1325, and handsomely rewarded. The position that the Khods enjoyed was a singularly unique one, so it was no surprise that they were rather unhappy when it started to unravel before and after the Thirty Years' War in the early 1600s.
V té době došlo k řadě společenským změn, ale o tom už je trochu jinak.
There were a lot of social changes taking place in the Czech lands at that time, and suffice to say that the whole region was bought by Lammingen of Alpenreuth, a German nobleman from Cheb who came and laid down his own rules. Now the Khods, being very conservative and headstrong as they are even today, refused to respect this new situation, and they appealed to the courts. The problem, however, was that their privileges had never been in written form. They used common law, or the law of customs, while the Lammingens of Alpenreuth acknowledged only written edicts.
The Khods tried every available method to retrieve their traditional rights, from what we'd call today civil disobedience to armed revolt. But, to abbreviate a long story, every step forward that they tried to make, they were forced to take two back in punishment, culminating in the two-year Khodish rebellion in 1693.
The rebellion, of course, ended up as you would expect. The leader was executed, and there was peace. But the Khods were completely forgotten. It was only in the 19th century, during this surge of patriotic feeling when they were looking for the source of Czech nationhood, that someone remembered the Khods, and the first researchers began to clarify, among other things, where the Khods had come from in the first place. There are four theories: either we came from eastern Slovakia, or from Poland, or from Lusatia, or that we are simply in the westernmost outpost of Slavic civilization. There's no reliable evidence for any of these theories, so our true origin will remain somewhere in the hazy past.
Regardless of origin, the Khods are very much figures of the present in Domažlice and environs, where their history and culture is proudly celebrated.
Tonight is the Khodish Ball, which is a traditional event we renewed 14 years ago. All of the folk groups in the area meet here in Domažlice, which we kind of imagine to be the Khodish metropolis. They sing and play and, of course, dance. I think you can say that tradition is alive and well here. If you look around, you see that there are not only small children running around in their costumes, but also the performers, and even the visitors are here in their local dress.
The truly surprising thing about the affiliation with traditional dress and song at the Khodish Ball is not even that almost everyone partakes in it, or that there are hundreds of attendees, but that even the teenagers seem to feel comfortable walking around the square in their blue and yellow Napoleon-esque uniforms and dancing with their peers. One of the red and white clad revelers told me about the traditional dress she wore.
Chodsko se skládá ze dvou částí, horní a dolní chodsko.
The Khod region has two parts, Upper and Lower Khodsko. Upper Khodsko was poorer and their costumes are less decorative. So when you look around, you can tell who is from where. There are a couple of old people who teach the young ones how to make the costumes. It's handed down, or there are people like my friend here who is learning to make them now. There is a lot more interest than there once was. In the 1930s, most people started wearing the black suits that were in fashion and began wearing the costumes only at weddings. Then, during communism, there was no interest in it. The costumes weren't worn at all.
Today, though, cultural pride in the Chod region is built from an early age, as you can see in 10-year-old Patrik Hradecký.
I've done a lot of dancing tonight. I danced with my mom, my aunt, my cousin and my brother, and then with my mother again. Then we performed and sang Play Me a Song from Klatovy and the pretty village of Domažlice, and it was nice. I've enjoyed the ball. I definitely feel like a Chod. I was born in the Chod region. And what does it mean to be a Chod? It means you sing in Chodesh and play Chodesh instruments like the clarinet and the tuba.
And not only the clarinet and tuba, but also the Chodesh bagpipes, a brow-raising combination of ox horns, bladders, and some other surprising ingredients, as this player told me.
The bagpipes are an indigenous instrument that's played here in the Chod region. It's an old instrument, said to come from Mesopotamia. The difference between Chodish bagpipes and the Irish or Scottish variants is that we use these bellows, instead of blowing into it, so that we can sing while playing. They've disappeared elsewhere in the Czech Republic, but we continue to use them here. The skin of the bag itself is made of dog, because it's oily and holds air well. It's a refinement. In Moravia, they use goatskins, and the air escapes.
The Chodesh ball is actually the smaller event of the year in the region of Chodsko. Come August, some 70,000 visitors from both sides of the border will descend on Domažlice for one of the largest local festivals in the Czech Republic. More of the same, but times 10, with Chodesh culinary specialties to boot, and surely one of the only places where you too can try on a traditional costume and not feel out of place.
A fascinating history of the Chod people presented this day by Christian Falvey. If you'd like to comment on that or anything else you've heard in today's show, please contact us here at the station. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. Now, moving to our final feature, it's another edition of Soundcheck in which you can learn idioms of the Czech language through song lyrics. And today's version is presented by Paula Horáková.
It's time again to learn a new Czech phrase with the help of a song. Today's tune is a 1960s duet Motýl, or Butterfly, written by hitmakers Jiří Suchý and Jiří Šlitr for the legendary Semaphore Theatre. The stanza we'll be listening to is sung by jazz trumpeter Jiří Jelínek. The phrase to listen out for is vzít si něco do hlavy.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy.
In this love song, the amorous singer says he feels like a butterfly that has decided it's tired of flying from flower to flower. Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví. And therefore he chooses the most beautiful blossom and wants to devote his life to it. He uses the phrase vzít si něco do hlavy in the past tense, motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, a butterfly that took it into its head, that set its mind on it. The verb vzít means to take, hlava means head. Everything should be clear now, so have another listen.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví.
Vzít si něco do hlavy, to put one's mind on doing something, implies a certain stubbornness and determination in Czech. If someone vezme si něco do hlavy, then he or she will do it no matter what. If you think it's a bad idea, whatever the person has decided to do, you would typically say in Czech, co si to zase vzal do hlavy? What is it that you have set your mind on doing again? But back to our love-struck singer who feels like a butterfly that decided it's tired of skipping from flower to flower. Vzal si do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho nebaví.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví.
Vzít si něco do hlavy is one of many Czech phrases using the word hlava or head. We have mentioned some of them in previous editions of Soundcheck, but here are another handful. Nemá to hlavu ani patu. Literally, it has neither head nor heel. That is, it makes no sense. It has neither rhyme nor reason. Je to hlava otevřená. Literally, he's an open head, meaning he's bright and resourceful. And finally, if you forget something, you can say já jsem ale hlava děravá. Literally, a head full of holes, meaning a scatterbrain. That's it for today, but if you'd like to practice today's phrase some more, you can find this episode as well as all the previous ones on Radio Prague's website, radio.cz/English. Naschledanou.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví. A proto rozhodl se hned pro nejkrásnější květ a jenom pro něj hodlá žít.
And that edition of Soundcheck was written and produced by Pavla Horáková. If you've been following our Czech language series, you will know that you can also look it up at our website, radio.cz, where you can listen again or just read the text. So if you're looking for Soundcheck, you know where to go, radio.cz. We're out of time, I'm afraid. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station this day. Thanks for joining us and take care.